But first, ladies and gentlemen, let's catch up with an old friend of ours. I've had people requesting we reach out. He is absolutely synonymous with, in my lifetime here, my favorite period of basketball in this town, the great Tony Jones. He had so much to do with it, to what went on here. The living fan does not forget. Tony Jones, que pasa, amigo? How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Tony B? Good to hear your voice.
Oh,
and,
it's great
hello
to hear
to
your...
all the great folks in Knoxville.
Great to hear your voice. Tony, bring the living listener, who may not know about your journey, up to speed on where you are right now as we speak and what you've been into.
Well, I'm coaching professionally up in Canada with the Windsor Express of the National Basketball League of Canada. And our record this year so far is 20-18. We're in second place in our conference, and we conclude the regular season on Saturday. We play Friday and Saturday, and the playoffs start the following week. And the organization is the two-time defending National Basketball League of Canada champions, and we are marching towards a three-peat, and hopefully we could do it. You know, we've had some injuries. We've had some games that we kind of let slip away. But all in all, I like this team, and I like our position heading into the playoffs.
Are you back healthy now, Tone? You feel like you can defend, make a run?
Yeah, we're healthy now. Everybody's, you know, we got a full roster. And, you know, we won a big game out on the road on the East Coast in, Halifax, Nova Scotia on Sunday. We beat the best team in the league, the Halifax Hurricanes, which is 27-10. And we beat them on their home floor by 18 points. So, that lends, and gives our guys a lot of confidence to go in and beat the best team in the league on their home floor. Like we did. So, I'm looking forward to it, Tony. You know, I always wanted to, you know, be a head coach and, you know, my brother and I are together, and we really, we're really cherishing this moment.
You, coached high school ball as a head coach. You coached Tennessee, that limited exposure that year that the SEC suspended Bruce Pearl because Cam Newton took some money. you've never done it with guys getting paid, shall we say, above the table. Tony,
right.
Is it different? How different is it to coach professional athletes? How different is that world for you? Like, what are some of the little differences, if there are any?
It is, Tony. And, you know, coming into this, I didn't know what to expect. You know, when you got guys that's, set in their ways, you know, you got a roster of guys in from the age of 22 to, you know, our oldest guy's 32. You get guys that's set in their ways, guys that's making money, guys that's married, and you guys that's got kids, guys that's got, you know, different types of issues off the floor and things of that nature. It was different. But, you know, I had to learn to adjust. I've been consistent with what I've done as a head coach in high school and college, and now is I've never treat them all the same, but I treat them all fairly, and I think that's what you have to do. At this level, the professional level, they have to trust you, and you have to keep communications open. You have to always let them know what you're doing, and if that communication and that trust breaks down, then you have a fractured relationship, and professional basketball is all about relationships. You need a psychology degree in some instances to coach these guys, but it's been fun. It's been a great experience, and I'm looking forward to the playoffs.
You know, the funny thing about pro sports and what's different about pro sports, and I was talking to Donnie Tindall about this, you know, the NCAA just smashed his face in, kind of like they smashed you guys up, and saw the reports last night, and that the NCAA is amending their deal against North Carolina, and now they've taken men's basketball and football out of it, and women's basketball is going to get attacked there. We'll talk more about that as the show unfolds. The NCAA never ceases to amaze me, but I was talking with Tindall, who last summer got to coach in the NBA Summer League, and he said, man, it is a totally different world when you're coaching these professional players, because you're dealing with men. And he was kind of talking about what you talked about, the whole trust thing, which made me think about my Philadelphia Eagles, who have made a complete mess of their organization, your Detroit Lions for years and years. You know, when you don't have a philosophy, Tony, in pro sports, and some of the different bad franchises through the years, guys like Isaiah Thomas, who are always changing on the fly, you know, rather than being having stability, and this is what we believe in, and this is what's expected of you. And when you're constantly shifting and changing, man, you're not going to win when you're in a professional level, are you? There's just no way you're going to win.
No, you're not going to win at the professional level if you don't have those relationships, if you don't have the trust factor, if the athletes and don't believe in you. And you know, you made a great analogy about the Eagles. I mean, they signed Sam Bradford. I know we're going off topic a little bit, but they signed Sam Bradford.
No, do it. That's what we're doing. You and I talk sports. Do it, man.
Yeah. You know, they signed Sam Bradford to, you know, that big contract, a 2-year deal, and then they bring in Chase Daniels, and they give him better than backup quarterback money. And then they make this unbelievable trade to get the number 2 pick in the draft to get one of these guys, you know, the kid from California or the kid from North Dakota. In essence, it kind of alienated Bradford because he knows that his days are numbered there. He knows he's not going to be a franchise guy. He knows he's not going to end his career in Philadelphia. And here's a 28-year-old guy who started the majority of his career, and he was given a good financial commitment. Now they want to go in another direction in a few years. So, you know, trust and loyalty is very important, especially at the professional level.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about that whole Bradford thing, people in Philly, it's predictable, their reaction. They're like, hey, look, we all work for a living. And I get that, and I get that reaction. Here's a guy going to not show up. He's gonna making $23 million, and that is galling, Tony. But the fact is, I'm convinced that many of these guys, just like many of these coaches would coach basketball if $100,000 was the most you could make. At some point, it doesn't become about the money. It becomes about, do you keep your word to me? Do you trust me? Can I trust you? You know, whether you're making $6 an hour or whether you're making, in Sam Bradford's case, $7 million or $3 million in his case, $3 million a win so far in his career. I mean, he's such a horrible, horrible, horrible underachiever to have made, after this contract, $100 million in his career. He's never won a playoff game. He had a good rookie season. He can't stay healthy. But that's not the point. The point is, the Eagles lied to him, they misrepresented to him, and that's what terrible organizations do. Terrible organizations constantly step in it, whether it's the Eagles, whether it's the Cleveland Browns, whether under Donald Sterling all those years it was the LA Clippers, when they had all those rotating GMs and all these players and all these high draft picks and could never win anything. And there are other examples of that. And you're with an organization there in your league with your brother. You guys have won 2 straight championships. And you told me on the front end, you said, hey, look, I'm going to go up here for a year, you know, see if I like it, kind of do my thing, and let the chips fall where they may. You said, but I know I'm going to a place that's solid, where I'm going to work around people I can trust. I'm going to work around my brother. Otherwise, you wouldn't have jumped into that, would you, Tony?
No, no way, no way. That's the only reason that I'm here, and I'm glad I did come because it's been a great experience. I mean, the people of Windsor, Ontario, Canada are just unbelievable people. They're loyal people. I mean, the supporters and the fans have been great to me, and it's really appreciative, and to haven't been around my brother for 25 years and for us to spend this year together has been extraordinary. I wouldn't change it. And you know, let's you know, continue to grind and see what we can get out of it, and then see what the future holds for San Antonio Jones in the future.
Does San Antonio Jones, speaking in the third person, you plan on jumping back into the college game, Tony?
You know, I've had some feelers out there, and had a great correspondence actually this morning with Josh Pastner, and we're going to see how that goes. But you know, it's some other things that I'm looking at, and I'm just keeping all the doors open, my options open. Who knows? It's a couple new franchises coming into this league that's going to be looking for head coaches. I'm just going to keep my options open and do what's best for me and the people I care about.
What's home base for you now, Tony? I know for a long time you kept home base Knoxville. What's home base for your family now?
Knoxville.
That's what?
That's where my residence is. I'm here. You know, they got me in a nice apartment that's overseeing the Detroit River, and I see the Detroit skyline right across the border, but I still have my residence in Knoxville.
Now tell me that.
And always will.
Cool. When you grew up, Tony, in Detroit back in the day,
right?
How many times did Sonny Jay and the family go across the border? Was that a frequent occurrence?
Wow, we went across the border a lot. I mean, a
really?
Lot.
What'd you go across the border for back in the day?
Okay, you know, it was a casino over in Windsor called Caesars, where we played one of our games this year, a huge game that we won against one of the better teams in London. It's this amusement park hotel type structure called Wheels, and it's in Chatham, Ontario, about 35 to 40 miles away from Detroit. And we used to go there, and it's just an unbelievable facility where, you know, they got water slides, they got rides, they got bowling, they got putt-putt golf, all those different types of things. We used to go there. Sonny Jay used to take us to Toronto and take us to Montreal. So I knew a great deal about Canada. And then when I was big enough to be able to drive, you know, I used to go across the border all the time. I used to date a girl in Windsor, and used to come over here. And then, after my high school prom, we had an after party in Windsor. So Windsor is just, it's almost like another country, unbelievable, but it's almost like Metro Detroit, so to speak.
How far is Detroit from Windsor if you're driving?
About 2 minutes. 2 minutes under the tunnel, and about 3 minutes
what?
Over the bridge. Yeah.
I need to get out more, man. I need to get out more, Tone. I didn't realize
exactly.
It was that close. I knew that obviously Detroit borders Canada, and we knew that, but I had no idea it was that. I need to get out. Tony B needs to get out more, man.
No question. And I had the opportunity, you know, Tobias plays with the Detroit Pistons. I had
yes.
the opportunity to go to see him play at least four or five times, this year. And me and him, you know, we broke bread on several occasions. And you know, and that's unbelievable. We're competing in different countries professionally,
yeah.
But we get opportunity to see each other, as much as possible.
You know, he's a neat kid. He's come back here a few times when they have off dates and sits with the students and has a good time with it. And He seems like a pretty good spirit, that young guy.
Great guy. Great guy. He's blessed to be where he's at, and he doesn't take it for granted. He does, and he gives back. When he got traded from Orlando to Detroit, he told the people in Detroit he couldn't make the plane that night because he had an engagement that he couldn't cancel with a bunch of school-age kids. And he's done some community up here in Detroit so far this year, and he still is going to be coming down to Knoxville and doing things down there. I'm gonna have the Sonny J basketball camp in Knoxville in June.
I'm there, Tone.
If
you tell me, you tell me when is Dr. Ice coming down again?
Oh yeah, Doc Ice will be here.
That's my boy right there. That's my boy.
When he started busting
those stories about you in the neighborhood back in the day, and tell him about this. I want Bino, who is soul brother number two to James Brown, soul brother number one. I got some pictures of Bino back in the day, Tony, where he is rocking a fro circa 1975. He's got a pick in his hair. Bino's got a big, huge pick. Doc Ice and Bino breaking it down, talking about some of the smooth old sounds of the great soul days. I love Doc Ice. That's my guy right there now.
No question. Doc Ice will be there, and I'll get Tobias to come and show up for one of the camps, and we'll have a great time, and, you know, we'll teach, you know, the young people in Knoxville the proper way to play the game of basketball.
You have an infectious spirit about you, Tony. I want to keep up with you. When will your season, when do your playoffs conclude after you guys cut the nets down again? How far out is that?
Wow. Hopefully, if that happens, it'll happen in June.
You have a long playoff, huh?
Yeah, the playoffs run through May. And if we're fortunate enough to get to the championship round, it'll start at the end of May, around the 1st of June, and it'll conclude probably in the second week of June.
One thing I learned, Tony, from guys like you is that this thing is about people.
Right.
It's always been about people. And with that in mind, and you're good people, and with that in mind, as we visit with Tony Jones today on the program, how about Bobby Mays, who came back again and had his charity basketball game, his Bobby Mays Classic, 3 years in a row here. That's you talk about another infectious guy. Bobby's an infectious guy, isn't he?
Great guy. And, you know, me and Bobby, communicate during the season. He loves Knoxville. He's proud to be a Tennessee Volunteer. And what he does is, you know, he brings all the people he knows through relationships and contacts, and he exposes them to the people of Knoxville, the people that he loves. Mm-hmm. And I have that same affinity for that great city, that unbelievable city called Knoxville, and that's why I'll continue to call it home.
He had that goofy-looking he had Allen Iverson down there with that goofy-looking Butch Jones in the tunnel at Neyland Stadium before the orange and white game. Butch Jones, those big old beady eyes, sitting next to there, next to the solution. I mean, Bobby Mays is a man about town, dude. How does he pull stuff like that off?
That's just a great personality, and he's genuine. That's the thing. He's genuine. And you know, you don't establish and then keep relationships. You don't have that longevity unless you're genuine and you're loyal. That's the type of individual Bobby is.
Tone, on the way out here, any other final thoughts for us today as we reconnected with the great San Antonio Jones?
Well, I know we were supposed to get a little bit into the playoffs, and we'll probably do
that
a little bit later on.
We will.
But I think, you know, the NBA playoffs has been really, really, really good. You know, you throw in the dynamics called injuries that come into play with Steph Curry being injured and not knowing his status at least for a couple weeks. And then last night, Chris Paul breaks his hand. He's out for the rest of the playoffs. And then Blake Griffin strains an injury that hampered him during the year. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Cleveland, obviously they swept Detroit. They're playing really well. Mm-hmm. You know, the Boston-Atlanta series, I think it's going to go down to the wire. Mm-hmm. The Charlotte-Miami series is going to go down to the wire. And over in the West, you know, San Antonio knocks off, they knock off the grind unit over in Memphis, and then last night OKC finishes off Dallas. My prediction is I think Golden State is still going to get to the finals, and I think they're going to play the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we're going to have a deja vu in the NBA Finals, and I think Golden State will come out victorious.
You know, the thing about when you start looking at that Golden State team, Tony, is that people make the mistake of thinking that they're Curry only.
Right.
And I believe absent of Curry, they probably still can get to a conference final. That's a really nice team they have there. And he's a great player, don't get me wrong. And they're not winning any NBA championship without him. But even without him, I think they can win a couple series, don't you?
No question. I mean, you throw Sean Livingston into the starting lineup, and then you still bring in the MVP of last year's playoffs, Andre Iguodala, off the bench to go along with Vanderbilt alum Festus Ezeli, and Andrew Bogut has been playing really well, and obviously Draymond Green is just the heart and soul of the team, along with Klay Thompson, and they're very, very solid basketball team, and it's a young basketball team that has young legs, and they get out and defend and they play unselfish, so all those things bode well for success, no matter who's out there.
Hey Tone, great talking to you, man. God bless. Thanks for coming on.
All right, take care.
Ah, it's beautiful, man. I love Tony Jones, the Sonny J Foundation. It's great to catch up with him. We had some folks saying, hey, man, let's catch up with Tony.